It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to Naomi's Table. And in this Bible study segment today, Connie Stanfill joins me at the table, and she's here with our lesson in Mark. We're introducing today, aren't we, Connie?
Yes, we are. We're going to start the Gospel of Mark, a very good book to study. So today we're just going to start with an introduction to Mark and talk about who Mark was as the writer, the author of this book, and then we'll dive into the first verse because that's really the title of this gospel. There are many, many Bible verses that actually mention Mark or John Mark. There's 10 times he's mentioned in the New Testament. We're going to be looking at those in just a minute, but I'm going to give you a few preliminary thoughts about Mark, and this has to do with what scholars know about him, about what they've noticed about the writing of this gospel, and then also what the early church fathers or leaders wrote about Mark. And so, interestingly, Mark is the shortest gospel we have, and it kind of fits with his style of writing. It's very fast-paced and concise. It's almost like little video clips or snapshots, and he definitely has a gift of storytelling in a way of picking out typical events that kind of are representative of what might have happened in a normal day in Jesus' life, and then also some very unique one-of-a-kind events, the ones that are very, very important. He's definitely about action and showing what Jesus did, perhaps more than just even what Jesus' teaching was. There's only one long discourse in the whole gospel. There are 18 miracles. There are 4 parables. And just the style of writing is kind of the common everyday Greek that would have been spoken. It's not the literary Greek you'd find in a famous piece of literature. It's more the common speech. We do know that he was a Jewish Christian, and we're going to find when we read some of the verses about him that he was closely associated with Peter, and he also spent time with Paul. And he's a cousin of Barnabas, who went with Paul on his first missionary journey, as did John Mark. He's got 2 names. It's actually John Mark, and it's listed several times in the Bible as both of those names. John is his Jewish name, which means Yahweh is gracious. And then Mark is a short form of Marcus, probably, which is his Greek name. I also want to tell you this book was probably written in the 50s or 60s AD. And so sometime 20-some years, 30-some years after Jesus was crucified. One other thing to just put in your head as we start this study, probably a key verse, at least for me in this entire book, is Mark 10:45, where Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." All right. Well, I'm going to now read some of those scriptures throughout the Bible, the New Testament, actually, which talk about how John is related to Jesus and Peter, and a little bit more about background about him as a person. So first one I have here is Acts 12:12, and it said this was Peter after he was released from prison. Remember that miraculous delivery when the angel came and let him out? It says, "He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark." Okay, so now we find out that Mark lived in Jerusalem. His mother was Mary. They were part of the early church. They were Jewish Christians. Then later on in that same chapter, verse 25, it says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark." This is Barnabas and Paul returning to Antioch, and then they're going to go out on their first missionary journey, and they chose at that time to take John Mark with them from Jerusalem to Antioch, and they had John to assist them. And so when Barnabas and Paul went on that first missionary journey, they took John Mark with them, which was a good thing, a young man to learn from what they're doing. But unfortunately, in verse 13, then we find out, it says, "Now Paul and his companions set sail from Patmos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem." So we find that it seems that John deserted them or left them on their missionary journey. We don't know the exact reason, but he left them. Because then the next time we hear his name mentioned, it's in Acts 15:36-39, and I will start in verse 36. It says, "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.' Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to do the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus." And so, again, another mention of John Mark, but you can see how he's associating with the early evangelists and apostles. A few other places in the New Testament scriptures we find Mark mentioned. Here in 2 Timothy 4:11, this is Paul, okay? And remember how Paul earlier had not allowed John Mark to come with him on his second journey because he'd left them earlier? Now Paul says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. What a blessing there that John Mark had changed, and now he was useful to Paul. Also, in 1 Peter, we read, she who is at Babylon, and here Peter's referring to Rome, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. And so we know for sure that Mark was in Rome with Peter. And then we've got one other verse, which we don't have the name of this person identified for certain, but considering that it's in Mark's gospel, the only place in the Bible it's recorded, and because it's a detail, an eyewitness account that we wouldn't expect it to be just tossed into the scriptures, this probably actually refers to Mark himself. And so this is in Mark 14, verses 51 to 52. It says, and a young man followed him, with nothing but a linen cloth around his body. And they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. And this was right after Jesus had been arrested. All right. So we have, you know, a little better idea of who this person, Mark, was. And obviously, because he is writing and he's a close associate of Peter, what we're really hearing probably is the way Peter told the story of Jesus and how Peter preached. And later on this week, we're going to be looking at a sermon that, or a message that Peter gave from Acts, and we'll see there's some similarities. It seems like the content's the same, even some of the manner of speaking. We're also now going to really dive into that first verse, that title of the Gospel of Mark. And I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to kind of look at each word and see what it's all saying. So it says, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so what we're going to find out is here in the beginning, what Mark does in his gospel is he dives right into the ministry of Jesus. We don't have the genealogies. We don't have a long theological discourse as we do in the other gospels, but he dives right into when Jesus' ministry began. The next word that's really important is gospel, and that means good news. And really what we're going to find out is when Mark writes this gospel, it's all about what that gospel is. And so that's the most important thing. And really, it's really the most important thing for us also. But that gospel means good news. And God had been talking about good news for his people for a long time. Many places in the prophets, he talked again about that good news. And so I'm going to refer to a few of those just to help us understand what a big deal it was for God to bring us good news. I will read first Isaiah 40, verse 9. It says, go up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. And this really is a prophecy of what will happen when the Messiah comes. Again, Isaiah 52, 7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news and happiness, who publishes salvation, who designs, says, your God reigns. And again, this is what happens when God breaks in human history and is involved. Nahum 1:15 is similar. It says, behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace. Each of these had a little bit, had a context where it fit with what was going on for the people of the day, either coming back from exile or being oppressed by the Assyrians. But ultimately, in all of these, the good news is that the Messiah is coming, and that's what Mark is going to be telling us about. Truly, what happens with God's news is when the good news is when God brings salvation to his people. And our problem as people ever since Adam and Eve has been our sin and how that separated us from God and his presence and his love. Mm-hmm. So now we've talked about gospel and how that's important. And then now we're going to also look at the names, the titles of Jesus that are listed next. And the next word we have is Jesus, and we're familiar with that. Actually, the Hebrew form is Joshua or Yeshua. Jesus is the Greek form of it. But Yeshua means Yahweh saves, or the Lord, the covenant God of Israel saves. And that's it's a fitting name. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah, and Messiah in Hebrew means anointed one. And so throughout the Old Testament, God had been prophesying that he would send the Messiah, the anointed one, to do some special things. And as we go through Mark, we're going to be finding out more and more what those special things were that person was going to do. And then finally, we have the Son of God. And this is astounding, because now we're talking about a person who is also divine, God's Son. And many verses, and we're going to be looking at those in a day or so, about what it means to be Son of God, and how God declared Jesus to be his Son, and how he validated who he was. So we've got an interesting study of Mark coming up, and hopefully as we look into and dig into all these verses about who God is, we will come to know Jesus more and really follow him. Actually, what the Gospel of Mark is, the whole thing is a call to discipleship, and it shows us who Jesus is as the person we follow, but it also teaches us that we can't follow on our own. It's only in relationship with Jesus Christ that we can be like him.
Connie, I am so looking forward to this Bible study. You've just heard the introduction, ladies, and I highly recommend that you go to our Bible study tab, where you can download the notes on our website. Just go to naomistable.com. And even in this introduction, there is a little bit of homework for you there if you are interested. And we encourage you to use these 10-minute podcasts to have your own Bible studies around your own tables. And you are welcome to any of the material that we have here on our website. We're going to talk more about this when we come back.